News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
We'll go at 7 after 8, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig on a Football Friday. For the most part, a complete slate of games tomorrow. That's great to see.
Yeah, it really is. After last week when 4 of the 7 SEC games were called off, including Auburn's game and Alabama's game. This week, 6 of the 7 still on. Only Texas A&M and Ole Miss has been called off. So looking forward to a full day of football tomorrow.
It was like a regional depression last weekend. Yeah. Everybody was bummed out for the same reason. Time to huddle up with Jason Campbell, brought to you by the
Rolling Tigers Booster Club.
That's who they
awesome
are.
Awesome organization from all of them.
Jason, good morning, and hey, we've got football to talk about. Great.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Like I said, last week was a tough week. But this week, you know, it seemed like we got a lot of games back in action. For sure, everyone's excited to see that, especially the weekend before Thanksgiving.
So the Mississippi State game called off last week, and that followed the Auburn scheduled bye. And tomorrow when they host the Tennessee Vols at 6 o'clock, it'll have been a three-week layoff, really, for the Auburn Tigers. I know head coach Gus Malzahn said he wants to see his team, quote, flip the switch. Jason, how difficult is it to flip the switch after 3 weeks of not playing?
It's tough. It's tough because you look at where this team was when they got the break. You know, it was coming off an LSU game. You know, where they played really well in all phases of football. You know, it finally seemed like they had some chemistry going on offense. Ball was being spread around to different people, so it seemed like Chad Morris was figuring out, you know, the guys that he has and what they can do best. And then all of a sudden you hit a pause. But also it gives that we self-scout. You know, you self-scout yourself. You see some of the things that we've been struggling at during the early part of the season, which is getting off the field on third downs on defense. And for the most part, before the last game, was staying on the field on third down. So, you know, those are things that you can self-scout yourself to get better at. So there's some wins and losses in it. But anytime that you're coming to a game like this and you've been off that long, it's so important that you come off that bus with some intensity. Like, you have got to start that game with some intensity against a team like Tennessee, because you don't want to allow them confidence early. And they're the same way. You know, they've been off. So they probably had time to see what's been really going wrong. Mm-hmm. So you don't know which Tennessee team you're going to get.
Yeah, this Tennessee team has got some talent, Jason. I think, you know, and it starts with their offensive line. They've got guys up there that are big and talented and kind of all SEC-type athletes. So I think for Tennessee, it kind of starts there.
Right, yeah, they got talent. Like I said, Jeremy Pruitt has done a great job of recruiting. I think the most part for them is, you know, the expectation is so high for that team. And the fact that they lost a couple games early, and I think it kind of derailed them because of the expectations being so high. And I don't know if they was ready for those expectations just yet. And but I just think this team can beat anybody on any given Saturday, you know, if they put all the pieces together. So that's why it's important that Auburn cannot afford to come out flat against this team. You know, we played this team 2 years ago at Jordan-Hare, and we ended up losing to them in a similar fashion. So I'm pretty sure that still resonates in the back of Gus' mind, and as he prepares his team to get ready to play this Saturday, this game won't be easy.
And some similarities for this game and the game two years ago when Tennessee beat Auburn. So that game, Tennessee came in with a 2-3 record, and Auburn had a 3-2 record, and the Vols upset them at Auburn 30-24. This year, kind of similar. The Vols come in 2-4, the Tigers 4-2, and ranked in the top 25. But I'm wondering if Auburn has that right there at the front of their mind, losing to that Tennessee Vols team 2 years ago. Will that play a role in the motivation this weekend, do you think?
I think for the coaching staff, yes. I think for the players, a lot of those guys went on the team then. You know, Bo, I don't think, was playing. He wasn't there. You know, Chad Morris and a lot of those guys. So it's a different scenario when it comes to both the player standpoint, because a lot of the guys that was on that team have kind of graduated and moved on. But if you was a freshman or a sophomore on that team, then you remember. And now that makes you a senior now. So, you know, I'm sure guys like Big Cat, Brian, all these guys got to come out and understand, like, you know, we have a chance to go 5-2, and you still got, you know, Tennessee, A&M, Alabama, Mississippi State left to play. And who knows what can happen?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to give yourself an opportunity, but you got to take care of business first, and that's beating Tennessee.
No, remember a year ago, you look at A&M on the schedule now, Dalton, but a year ago, Auburn went into A&M and knocked them silly. So they've got winnable games left leading up to the Iron Bowl. KJ Britt, what is his health, and how important is he, and how important is it for him to get back?
Yeah, everyone was hoping he could be back by now, but, you know, fortunately he's not. But, you know, he's a competitor. He definitely wants to be out there. You know, he's the ultimate team guy. And, you know, the thing is, you know, who knows? You know, hopefully we can get him back next week, you know, and then finish out with the next two games to finish the season. That would be great. But, you know, we don't really know his status right now. Nothing is being said about it. But I definitely know he wants to be out there. And then from the aspect of, you know, it's Tennessee game tomorrow. I think having that defensive leadership, Owen Papo and McClain, neither one of those guys that came off the field much at all this year into the fourth quarter of the LSU game. So this break probably helped them get healthy and get back into the groove to finish out the season strong. But we've got to put pressure on that on their opposing quarterback tomorrow. It doesn't matter if it's the freshman Harrisley. Or it doesn't matter if it's the senior. So we've got to put pressure on who's ever back there.
You mentioned the availability of KJ Britt. Last week when the Mississippi State game was postponed, that was because of the Bulldogs' positive test. But pretty much right after that, Gus Malzahn came out and said over the course of the week, 10 Auburn players had tested positive for COVID-19. I know he said that some will be back tomorrow, some won't be cleared to play, and these teams keep it pretty hush-hush who it is that's tested positive. Is there any word out whether any of the people that won't be available, whether they're in prominent positions on the team?
I say this, though. Like, you know, the coaches, and like, they always do a good job of not letting things out. But the fact that they, when I read the report and it said that, you know, Auburn expected a few players to be out and everything, because you got to think, if 10 to 12 guys tested positive, then that means they got to do a whole retrace. So guys that are retraced, if they didn't test positive, then yes, they will play. But if one of those, two or three of those guys were one of your main players or starters and they tested positive for COVID, then it's a Trevor Lawrence situation. That means they won't be out there. And, you know, so it's a possibility that Auburn steps onto the field tomorrow, maybe about two or three of their best players on the team.
Wow. Hey, tell everybody about your podcast and how people can follow you on social media.
Yeah, you can follow me on social media. Instagram is jcampbell17. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's JCAM_17. And then I do my podcast. It's Believe in Auburn with Taylor Beth Davis, who's also went to Auburn graduate, works for ESPN, Carolina Panthers. It's BLEAV in Auburn. So everyone, please go in there and subscribe. Tune in. The more people that listen in, the more we continue to move up. And, you know, we appreciate it. We put everything into it. We do a lot of research. We do our homework. And we try to bring you all kind of Auburn news. So thank y'all for y'all's support.
Yeah, man. We support you, Jason. Thanks for being on with us.
Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Huddle Up with Jason Campbell, a Friday afternoon or morning staple on FM Talk 106.5.
And brought to you by the Rolling Tigers Booster Club.
8:15 at FM Talk 106.5. 8:21 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. You ever text somebody, you know, you got, and you end up texting a message to the wrong recipient?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's, I don't do it a lot, but every now and then you get mixed up. You're not really looking at the name that you're texting to. It's somebody that you had a recent conversation with.
Yeah.
So last week I texted to Kim, have you fed Charlie? I went home.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if the puppy had been fed yet.
Charlie.
So I was like, that's the guy right there, Charlie. He is adorable. But anyway, so I texted Kim, have you fed Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get a reply, and I didn't get a reply. And then I looked down and realized I didn't text Kim, have you fed Charlie? I text Jason Campbell, former Auburn quarterback, have you fed Charlie?
And?
He did not text back. And during our Huddle Up segment, I did not bring it up, and we'll just move on. It's 8:22 at FM Talk 106.5.
It would have been nice of him if he had actually fed Charlie, if he'd been concerned.
Would have said, does he need feeding? You know, but he just let it alone. I guess he knew it was a mistake.
That's outstanding. I love wrong text stories. And we get quite a few on our text line, actually. Those are pretty humorous sometimes. What's not humorous, heck of a segue there, are the latest unemployment numbers from The Nation, and those came out yesterday, the weekly initial claims for jobless benefits, and last week they rose to 742,000 unemployment claims. That's up from 711,000 the week prior. Now, that's far down from where we were at the very beginning of the lockdowns in this pandemic. Back on March 28th, that weekly unemployment number was at 6.8 million. I still can't believe what we've gone through this year as a nation. That
where are we now again? 6.4 million as opposed to...
That was 6.8 million at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
This time, the latest unemployment weekly claims is at 742,000.
Yeah.
So the number has been dropping steadily since we hit that peak back at the end of March. And we've been seeing it finally drop below 1 million claims at the very end of August. And we've been below that number. But remember, those are weekly unemployment claims, which go hand in hand with current layoffs.
Right.
Now, so that's for the nation, 742,000. You look at Alabama, though, and Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News has some of the latest numbers. He said, good news, Alabama's unemployment rate for the month of October fell to 5.8%.
Wow.
That's down from 6.7% back in September, almost a full point.
That's
that
great.
Alabama has dropped. You look at the county-by-county numbers, and Mobile actually above the state average right now at an 8% unemployment rate. Baldwin County is below the number at a 5% unemployment rate. Some of the counties around us, numbers aren't as good as the state. Washington County at 6.8%, Clark County at 8.2%, Monroe at 7.3%, Escambia County is at 5.5%. So the numbers are looking better in the state of Alabama, but not so good nationally. And you have to think that those numbers nationally will continue to rise here over these next few weeks as some of these states go back into lockdown mode and essential worker only mode. But that brings up the question, you know, what's going on with the stimulus? Will Congress come together and pass something by the end of the year?
There was a time every day we would have a conversation about that, mm-hmm. or just about, because something was happening or somebody was saying something about it.
Yeah.
Right?
And it really slowed down leading into the election.
It did. And now it's, where are we with it?
Well, remember, Secretary Steve Mnuchin was meeting with Nancy Pelosi just about every day, and they just couldn't get close to a number together. Pelosi still was fighting for the Democrats' $2.2 trillion bill, while the Republicans were looking to pass something, I think, right around $600 million. Yesterday on the Jeff Poor Show, he had U.S. Representative Robert Aderholt on, who talked a bit about the stimulus. He said, I hear they're trying to move on something, but I think the Democrats are still wanting to do this $2.2 trillion plus policy in this new COVID relief bill. Aderholt said, that's just, I think, too much at this point. I think the Senate will not go along with it. The Senate is still in control through this Congress for sure. And it looks like they are favored to be in control after this Congress as well. He didn't say that. That was from me. But Aderholt did say it just won't go anywhere. So unless the Speaker is willing to pare down on the House side, then I don't see it going anywhere until maybe after the new year. And you look at what some others are saying from up there in D.C. Regarding another stimulus plan. We've heard actually from both Joe Biden and Donald Trump. They want something to pass before the end of the year. And Mitch McConnell is saying the same thing. The Senate Majority Leader, he said he would, quote, likely re-propose a plan he pushed in October. That plan was for $500 billion and included additional Paycheck Protection Plan funds. Now, the Democrats, they were at that $2.2 trillion, and that's what the issue is here, is meeting somewhere in the middle. McConnell has signaled that he backs another stimulus package, and this came from a November 4th press conference that he said he would like an aid deal passed before year end. So that's where we stand now. Everybody claims that they want a new COVID relief bill, but how is it going to happen? And is it more difficult now as we end the with all the stuff going on with the election? Is this a priority for Congress is my question.
It looks like it's not. By the way, there are some people, some citizens, who never received the first check.
Yeah.
So the Internal Revenue Service is warning those who never got the first $1,200 stimulus check that the final deadline to register is rapidly approaching. Anybody who should have received an economic impact payment as part of the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act has until 3 o'clock November 21st, that's tomorrow, to use the non-filers enter info here tool on IRS. It's at IRS.gov. When the CARES Act funds were dispersed, the money went out to people whose tax information was on file from 2019 or 2018. But some people who shouldn't have received a payment, who should have received a payment, never did. So if you haven't received the money, the first $1,200, and you're due, you need to go to IRS.gov and go to the non-filers, enter into here tool, and get that squared away. You're just about out of time. I can't believe that someone has let the time just roll on where they were like, you know, I never did get mine, or I threw it away, didn't know what it was. We've heard of instances like that, but you better file if you want that $1,200. It's amazing that some people never got it.
Yeah, and I've heard some people say it's been extremely difficult to find a way to get that money their pocket. But, you know, when big corporations talk, sometimes that's who the politicians listen to more than their normal constituents, which is backwards. But Walmart CEO Doug McMillon, he spoke earlier this week. He said it's, quote, imperative that lawmakers come together to pass another round of stimulus. He said the increase in cases will put more pressure on small businesses that have been heavily impacted by the pandemic. Now, make of that what you will, but the Walmart CEO coming out and I guess arguing on behalf of small businesses, which so many have been crushed by Walmart and the ilk that have been left you know, open during the early stages of this pandemic.
That is very true.
But a lot of people looking for that extra stimulus check. But the other argument is, you know, how much money can the U.S. continue to spend?
Yeah.
And as we head into this new administration, it looks like Joe Biden still getting called on to erase student loan debt on his first day in the White House.
I think there's several possible plans are involved, not maybe wiping it out altogether, maybe $10,000 per or something like that.
Yeah, there's been different discussion. $50,000 has been brought up, $10,000, and some of those on the far left want all student loan debt erased.
How about the people that just paid off their student debt? How are they feeling about all that? 8:30 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. For conversation and more, you, 343-0106. Feel free to call.
Here on FM Talk 106.5. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, Friday style. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, Friday style. Good morning, guys.
Hey, good morning. So it looks like a beautiful weekend, and it'd be a good weekend to come out to the lot at McConnell. What kind of deals can we expect when we come over?
That's what I was going to say. It's going to be a great weekend. We're going to have the football games on. You know, you do some little pre-checking. Check our website at McConnellAutomotive.com, man. Y'all can look at every car out there. We've got great pictures on them, got price, mileage, everything. And if you got any questions before you get there, call Gene or I at 251-476-4141. But we got that used car inventory looking great. The new car inventory is looking great. We've got some inventory. We're continually trading in the new body style with the new tailgate trucks. You know, everybody's getting the 20s and the 21s are coming in, and we're getting 19s. Actually traded in a 20 yesterday, Denali, with a 6.2. Everybody wants that motor. Got a few new Yukons on the ground. Y'all just need to check all that stuff out, or come by and check us out tomorrow. Like I said, it's going to be a great weekend. We got great financing rates. We're going to be there. We're going to have a few games on, so you won't miss the game if you want to come buy a car. So come check us out at McConnell Automotive in beautiful Midtown Mobile on Dolphin Street.
All right, quite the selection. You have something for everyone, and we appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Hey, you want to do something in the Christmas spirit? You've got a few of the tree lightings going on. We've got, Fairhope was last night. Hope everybody had a nice time. Hope that they were socially distanced enough to, you know, have the event and also stay safe. Tonight, I believe, is the city of Mobile. Am I off by a week?
I think you're right.
Okay, okay. I know it's Friday night, and I think we talked about it earlier this week, and so it's Friday night at 6 o'clock. And down in Foley, too, it's still blowing and going down there. Their doors are still open, so they're going to be there with their tree lighting ceremony. It's going to be tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
So yeah, and you know, I'm actually
something that feels like the holidays, right?
I'm heading down there tonight and I've never been to Owa, and we've been talking about going
really
time and time again, and we actually plan to finally make it to Owa tomorrow. And I didn't know there was a tree lighting ceremony tomorrow night, so maybe I'm going on the most busy day of the year.
But you going to the park?
Yeah, we're going to go check it out. Probably won't be riding any rides with a 2-year-old, unless they have rides for 2-year-olds there. But kind of check things out. I've never been.
On the scream machine and wish her well.
just toss her on the head. That's right. but Owa, they were really a huge help during Hurricane Sally, and we spent a lot of time on. I love talking with Mark Ingram from Baldwin EMC, but this year I did not like why we had to talk with him because of these storms. But they were talking about how Owa allowed them to stage so many of these power line crews there at the park in Foley. So that was a major, major help as they were working on restoring power across the country, across the county, and cleaning things up. So
it was in a good space. It was in a good spot geographically. It's where a lot of the storm hit, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had all this space. I don't think you've got anything else like that down there in that part of the county. That was Owa. It was like, it's either you or we're going to be in a lot of trouble here trying to stage out of one area. Mm-hmm. And it turned into be the absolutely perfect spot to do that.
Yeah, and with all these tree lightings going on, and I don't even want to hear it from some of the, like, remember when CNN came down to the beach at the very beginning of the pandemic
back in June?
Anderson Cooper sent somebody down here, and they were just absolutely roasting Alabama's beaches for having people out there during a pandemic. How could we do that? We were killing the rest of the country by doing that. And then we've seen what's gone on over the last 8 months. There's been riots in the streets. There's been parties after the election out there in the streets. So I'll just tell you, I'm going to be pretty frustrated if I start to see the national media go after people that are just trying to go out and, do Christmas, have somewhat of a normal holiday season, especially if these things are happening outside.
Right.
And we've seen so many people congregate outside, and not a word was said by most media. If they start going after people for going out there for these Christmas tree lightings, and I personally would have a problem with that, but I hope that our local trees we put up look better than that tree in New York City.
I was just going to get to that. Was that the most 2020 Christmas tree ever?
That was unbelievable. So I don't know if anyone out there has seen the video or
astounding
pictures of the tree that they put up in New York City at the Rockefeller Center. But
you have to figure they are going to get the best tree.
It's the most
famous Christmas tree, maybe this side of the White House in the United States of America. And somebody didn't do their job. Be my assessment of what happened in New York City.
Oh, Paul Bunyan's been fired from his gig because it was the most pitiful tree. Now, it was a massive tree. It is a massive tree, very tall. I don't know how tall.
Yeah.
But as they put that thing up in New York City, it was, when you have, if you've ever put up a fake Christmas tree before, which. Yeah. We've done for some time at my household. I think we're moving into the real tree territory now. But when you put those up and all the branches are kind of, smushed together, and it really doesn't look like a Christmas tree until you put everything on it. That's what this Rockefeller tree looked like as they broke it out and put it up. It was the most pitiful tree I think I've ever seen. They actually even found a small owl, I guess, that was inside of the tree, and somebody saved this tiny owl. They said it's a petite saw-wet owl. My theory is this owl picked this tree in particular because it never thought that they would cut this one down as a Christmas tree because it's so pitiful. But you got to check that out. I'll retweet that, put it on my Twitter account. You can see the ugly Rockefeller Center tree they put up in New York City.
I think I remember what the video looked like. It's almost like, okay, the tree looked okay, and then when they were they putting it up, and like a third of it just peeled off, like old wallpaper or something. Part of it just kind of fell apart, and it was like, where did they get that tree?
De Blasio's backyard. That's where they got that tree. I wonder, in all seriousness, do you think they put out an ugly tree this year to discourage people from coming out to the Rockefeller Center?
Well, that'd be some psychology right there. Don't give them too much credit up there.
That's my conspiracy.
The most talked about Christmas tree since the Donald Trump Christmas tree at Ladd People's Stadium.
Yes. Oh, what a...
Yeah.
That seems like that was a decade ago.
Yeah.
We were arguing about the Christmas tree that went up for the Trump rally.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
Hey, by the way, a thank you to UMS Wright. They did something really nice for first responders yesterday. Did you see about that?
No. What'd they do?
They went ahead. They put together a lot of... kind of Thanksgiving-type meals, and they were free for first responders to swing by and pick them up. Hmm. So here's our thanks to you. So we had firemen and sheriffs and police officers, EMTs, anybody who considers themselves a first responder were able to swing on by UMS Wright yesterday. They had kind of a set it up where you just swing on by and get it. And just to say thank you to first responders in a very tough year.
That's outstanding. Yeah. Congratulations, UMS Wright. Win for the good guys here. Local story from Fox 10. Two men were arrested and charged with burglary third degree and possession of burglar tools. I wonder if I'm in possession of any burglar tools.
Sean probably is. Sean's got every kind of tool.
Police say a homeowner saw these two burglars in his backyard, held one of the suspects at gunpoint, and then contacted authorities. They said this happened Wednesday of this week at about 10 a.m. on the 2900 block of Riverside Drive. And I think that's just south of Dog River, if my Google Maps is telling me correctly. So the victim actually told police officers he saw two suspects in the backyard of his residence and that the suspects had been in his shed. He also found the lock cut. Police say the victim called police while holding one of the suspects at gunpoint, and they then located the second suspect and the burglary tools they've now been charged in possession of. 51-year-old Jack Turk and 38-year-old Archie Moore were arrested for that. But at the same time, and I know that wasn't necessarily a violent crime. It could have turned poorly.
Could have been, yeah.
Really could have. But Mobile County District Attorney Ashley Rich continues to talk with the media, and she's been on this station quite a few times talking about jury trials and how they've been delayed during this coronavirus pandemic, and capital murder trials remain on hold. She told Fox 10, we can make a plan to accommodate these types of cases. She says she has 25 capital cases on her docket, including 11 for which prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. And one of those cases is one that we know too well, Marco Perez, who was charged with murdering Mobile police officer Sean Tudor. That's one of the cases that's currently on Ashley Rich's docket right now. Mobile County presiding circuit judge Michael Youngpeter said he hopes that by winter or spring, the courts can start trying capital cases in which the prosecutors are not seeking the death penalty, but they're putting off those death penalty cases until fall of 2021. That's something that's not thought of often either during this pandemic that's delayed so many of these jury trials. And unfortunately, we've seen so many cases here recently where there are criminals that do something bad that had been let out on bond previously and continue to, you know, do criminal things. So I'm really hoping that, you know, for the innocent and for the non-innocent, that they get these jury trials underway as soon as possible.
Amen to that. And you're right. But I guess it's probably going to take the vaccine to allow people to feel safe to congregate together and you know, try to execute justice, right?
Yeah, could be right.
It is 8:47 at FM Talk. And by the way, if you're 51 years old and you're breaking into sheds, bro, your life's plan's gone sadly wrong, it seems to me.
Yeah, I would say.
You know, you're a teenager, you're breaking into a shed. Okay.
Are you giving them a pass?
I'm not giving them a pass. I'm saying I kind of understand that. 51, breaking into sheds. Got to do better, bro. 847 at FM Talk 106.5. Hey, man, it's time. 852.
Oh, man.
FM Talk 106.5. Look, I've done all this. I don't have a sweaty baby at home, but Dalton does. And so it's time for a sweaty baby update on FM Talk 106.5. Lay it on me, man. Lay it on thick.
Let's see. Sweaty baby update. All right. Well, baby is less sweaty, I'll tell you that, as it's cooled down.
Congratulations.
Still moments of sweatiness, but let's see.
She's rashier.
What's new? Yeah, there's a lot more drama in the household as she nears the age of two. But something I've tried to do over the last year and a half is toughen her up, you know, make her tough by wrestling with her, you know. I'll push her down with my head and stuff like that, you know, safely. But I'm trying to toughen her up and teach her how to wrestle and be a tough little baby.
Some would call that abuse. Go ahead.
It's already backfiring on me because I have a very pregnant wife at this point. We've got a second one on the way. And my wife just gets constantly beat up now.
Sweaty baby is taking out her aggression when you're not there on mama.
Yeah, even when I am there. And I have to get on to her. I say, no, use those wrestling moves against your classmates, not your mother.
But like last night, happy about that at daycare.
Last night she was like dropping the the people's elbow or something onto my wife's pregnant stomach, which I do not think is good. Not good for the baby.
No.
And just all these wrestling moves. I wanted to do the Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, where he takes two beer cans, smashes them over his head. If she could do that with a couple milk bottles, then we would be in business. But
Sweaty Baby, if you're listening this morning, we love you. Hello.
She's turned violent.
Just take it easy on mommy. It's 8:54 at FM Talk 106.5. Got good stuff on the way, including Jeff Poor. You know that's a good show. That's an insider's look at politics right there, especially in the state of Alabama. And then Sean Sullivan is on the way at 12 noon with Midday Mobile. And you can also check out those podcasts anytime you want at FMTalk1065.com.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see what comes this weekend from the Trump legal team. We saw Rudy Giuliani and some of the other lawyers from that legal team yesterday go out and make somewhat of a case for voter fraud. And I think we'll be hearing a lot more from them over the weekend. That'll be interesting, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in detail.
You think there's going to be actually some details coming out this weekend, or will they give it a rest and wait till the week begins?
I think they've got to keep this in the national spotlight. Okay. They can't afford for the national spotlight to turn off of this if they do have the evidence and plan to eventually overturn this election. And, you know, some good points made this morning. I got an email this morning from someone who I think makes a good point. Now, he is coming after us a little bit. Mm-hmm. He said, we sound like a bunch of liberals saying, show me the evidence or it doesn't exist, which I think is a bit of a good point, because just like it's not the media's job to certify the elections, mm-hmm. that comes down to Congress, really, when it comes down to it. It's also not the media's job to, you know, make a court decision, a court mm-hmm. ruling. And so the Trump
legal team, we're not making a court ruling. We're just, you know, just I am anxious to see the evidence.
Yeah.
Let me just put it like that.
I would say the exact same thing.
Yeah. But thanks for the email.
Yeah, and I think we might be seeing some more from that over the weekend, and we'll certainly be talking about it here throughout the course of the day on FM Talk 106.5. Yes, you got
Bama Tim?
A caller on the line. Yeah, Bama Tim, what's up, man?
Hey, Dalton, how's it going? Hey, Dan.
Going well. Good to see you out there at the Veterans Day ceremony.
Bama football is back this weekend.
Yes, it is.
3 o'clock against Kentucky on SEC Network.
Yes, yeah, it is. How are you feeling about it?
Oh, man, I told Sean it's going to be like, I told Randy the other day, I was going about 51, I think, to 10, maybe.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
and
about
he
right.
He picked 63-7, so I'll go with Randy on that one.
A couple homers there.
That tree that they put up in the Rockefeller Center, maybe we can get Linus to go up there and like wrap his blanket around it like he did for Charlie Brown's Christmas tree.
Was that
tree.
The craziest, most pitiful thing you've ever seen? It was like, who thought this was going to be the tree?
Oh, man, I would have gave him one that looked better than that.
Seriously, I just that's his 2020. That shows you what 2020's been like, especially in New York City, I think.
All right, guys, y'all have a great day. And Roll Tide, roll.
You got
there
it, Bama
it is,
Tim.
Bama Tim. Wouldn't expect anything less of Bama Tim than that Roll Tide roll. I bet, actually, that Roll Tide is probably one of Alabama's most popular passwords online.
I would think so. And War Eagle, too.
War Eagle, no doubt about that. And probably South in Your Mouth, you know. That's what that's what they say at the University of South Alabama. Not clear what that means, but that's what they say. And there's actually a list of the top 25 most popular passwords this year.
Right.
A list of 200. But would you want to guess what the number one most popular online password is for this year, 2020?
Something about Trump?
No, not okay. quite. It is 123456. People still out there using the password 123456.
You got to do maybe a little better than that.
For some reason, anime has become popular in online passwords. Anime like cartoons, mm-hmm. Especially from Japan. Yu-Gi-Oh is one of the most popular passwords now, and Pokemon. Lots of people using Pokemon.
Are people still walking around the park looking for Pokemon?
I think they are.
Because I see them and I don't know what they're doing. Is that what they're doing?
I almost ran over a Pokemon hunter just the other day.
You can't.
Walking across the street.
They're rather aimless.
Yeah. They just kind of walk around staring at their phone.
Yeah.
Number 33 was unknown. Most popular password. Chatbooks. Evite. Number 53, Bang Bang 123. I mean, if these people aren't being hacked, then I don't know who else is. Some of the other more popular passwords, QWERTY, you know, when you look at your keyboard, top left of the keyboard, QWERTY, and I Love You, also making the top 25 list. So this is just a PSA, really. If those, if any of you out there have those as your passwords, it's probably about time you change them.
It was time immediately. It was time to never make that your password. How about forgot? The word forgot.
Mm-hmm. Well, unknown is one of the most popular.
Unknown.
Too,
yeah. Okay.
And trust no one.
Ah,
popular password.
Ricky's password right there.
Might be.
FM Talk 106.5. Maybe Jeff Ford will take a call from Ricky today. A little radio theater. Jeff's on the way next on FM Talk 106.5.